Good morning again. Love never fails. What a great song. What a great message. What a great message. Let us bow our heads in prayer before we dive into God's Word. Dear Lord Jesus, may the meditation of our hearts upon your Word reinforce to us the truth that you are a God whose love never fails, that you take up the cross, you took up the cross every day of your life, Lord Jesus, to die for our sins and to give us life, and you still serve us every day out of love for us. Help us to grow in our love for you and in service to you and all people who do not yet know you as Savior and Lord. We pray all these things in your name, O Jesus, and all God's people say, Amen. Living life on the edge today, my wife will wince. I left my readers at home, which normally I don't need because the crew is so great at making sure I got these nice little lights. So I'm going to be good. Mark 8, 31 to 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." These are the words, the thoughts of our Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, is it possible to have a casual relationship with Jesus Christ? That's kind of like asking a Harley rider if he or she kind of likes their bike. Right? Which got me thinking about maybe we should be asking a different question today. And that is, what could the hogs teach us about our walk with Jesus? Any hogs here today? Any hogs here today? Oh, there's got to be somebody who is a hog, is there not? Who knows what a hog is? A member of the, shout it out, Harley owner group, right? The Harley owner group. Hogs have got to be the most dedicated people on the planet. Brand loyal, sporting the gear. Hogs know the lingo and they love to share their love. Hogs own the brand jealously. And amazingly, hogs get together like almost every weekend, quite often on Sunday mornings, to fellowship together, to ride together, and sometimes they even branch out and get together with other groups and have picnics. What do hogs see in their motorcycles? Why do hogs so love their bikes? And could you and I, in some way, shape, or form, learn from them about our walk with Jesus? Well, I think I'd have to refer you to the nearest Harley dealer for the first part of that question, but I do think that the Harley approach to living does give us some thoughts as today we talk about the cross of Christ. Under the theme, the thought, Dear Lord Jesus, help me to own your cross. Give me eternal vision that sees its value. And bless me with undying love so that it changes my life and how I live. We catch up with Jesus toward the end of his ministry in our reading. Jesus spoke plainly with his disciples that he must suffer many things, be rejected by his people, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Be killed. Dear friends, some pills are hard to swallow, aren't they? Remember when we were kids, those of us who are older than kids, remember when we were kids and we had to line up when we were sick for that pink liquid medicine that was cherry-flavored, that was kind of the be-all and end-all, the catch-all for any malady. And I remember lining up with my three siblings, all four of us in a row, and then we got to that great day when we could finally take a pill, except that for me that was an issue. How many of you had your mom tried to hide the pill in Jell-O? I saw it all the way to my mouth and down my throat. That never happened. And then maybe your mom was like my mom, and she would encourage me with taking tough pills. She'd say, wow, that's like a horse pill and a half. And I go, yeah, it's really big. I can't get it down. Some pills are just hard to swallow. Jesus' words were like that for his disciples. A tough pill to swallow. He was the hope of Israel, the throne of David, the Messiah. He had shaped, influenced their words and their steps almost every day for 3 years. They planned to live a different kind of life for the rest of their life, because he was the guy who would someday heal their arthritis. He was the guy who could put together the free lunch. He was the guy who could calm the storms of life. Yes, and he was the guy who had a direct connection to the Father in heaven. Forget cell towers on the highest hills and the most hills. The Father could connect with Jesus on the highest mountain and in the depths of the Jordan River Valley and say things like, This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. And up until this point, the disciples were more than ready to listen until they got to these words in our text from their Jesus. The suffering and death of our Lord? No way. A change in the directory of our lives and the plan for our lives? No way. What Jesus just said cannot happen. You see, the reality of God's plan was a tough pill to swallow. And in their minds, the future, what Jesus said was coming, could not happen at all. Peter questioned the bitter pill, and he rebuked Jesus, and boy, did Jesus rebuke him back sternly. Get behind me, Satan. The concerns of God outweigh the concerns of men. And then he called the crowd and he called his disciples together. You want to be my disciples? Deny yourselves and take up your crosses. If you want to preserve this life, you will lose it. But if you lose this life for me and for the gospel, you will save it. My friends, the cross is always focused on God and God's salvation plan for me and for you and for the people around us in life. The cross is not focused on merely human concerns for the here and the now. And Jesus says to us that every Christian, every believer in Jesus has his or her cross to pick up and to carry. And that cross is like the cross of our Savior, in that it is focused on God's plan in the kingdom, the saving of souls. And Jesus says that involves denying self and what I want life to be. and instead focusing in on God's plan and God's will, embracing the future He has planned for us, even if it's a future that we never envision, and if it's a future that deep down we don't want. The cross, very simply, is the way of life for the Christian, focused on God and His plan and His drive, His need in our life, come what may. The cross. What does the cross look like? Well, as I said, for us as Christians, the cross is an everyday thing. The cross is a prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. It's a bold prayer every morning. Dear Lord Jesus, help me this day to shoulder your cross. Help me this day to carry the cross you have willed for me, that the work of the kingdom might be accomplished through me. Dress me for the cross this day through your word. Prepare me this day to be known in the world for you by how I speak and by how I live. Prepare me, Lord Jesus, that people may know that I belong to you by how I love. Oh, and Lord, most weeks help me to gather with your people sometime during the week to grow in you and to shine for you. And help me to help your cross to be all that I am. Yes, the cross is an everyday thing. And the cross really involves every bit of suffering and challenge that comes our way, just as Jesus modeled for us. An unbelieving friend might say to God's people, "Hey, I thought you guys were Christians. Where's this love of your God? One of you over here is in a wheelchair. How did that happen? And one of you over here just lost your house due to foreclosure. And I know your wife divorced you for some other guy. You know, that can't be like God's fault. But yet you always tell me that God works through everything for good. And my friend, where's the good? Where's the blessing of being a part of God? If God really controls everything, I'm not seeing that for your good. Where is the blessing of being a son of the king, a daughter of the king? How good are you and I at picking up our cross in that moment of suffering and shining for our Jesus? Or is it only easy for us to shine for the king when we're walking behind the miracle worker and life is going well? And what is God thinking about anyway with all of these issues in my life? It is important to remember that God is always working from the big picture in our lives. And He is always working to accomplish the goals of His kingdom, saving people, saving souls around us in our lives. And so it's almost like God every day says, okay, what do we need to ask of Nathan today and tomorrow and for the weeks to come so that my son may shine through Nathan, that my son may shine through you? What do I need to ask that Jesus might shine as Nathan, as you carry the cross? You see, Jesus' cross as the Son of God, His cross involved carrying burden each and every day. Whether it was being hungry or thirsty in His humble state as a human being and suffering on the cross for you and for me, Jesus was carrying the cross each and every day. On the cross, He suffered hell for you and me. Leading up to that, He was beaten, spit upon, rejected by His own people, ridiculed. And on the cross, what He suffered most was the separation from His Father. And you look at all that and you realize when Jesus told His disciples, "I'm preparing you for my cross, I'm preparing you for your crosses," there was no plan in Jesus' life for early retirement. No plan in Jesus' life for 40 acres up north someday. No plan in Jesus' life to someday bounce grandkids on His knee. And Isaiah had prophesied this very thing 700 years before. When he penned this, "In humiliation, He was deprived of justice. Who can speak of His descendants? for his life was taken from the earth. Jesus' purpose in life was always his Father's plan to save you and me. He was laser focused as he lived. He was laser focused as he died. And that same challenge is now for you and me. He says, whoever wants to save this life will lose it. But whoever loses this life for me and for the gospel will save it. It is some kind of love to carry the cross. Lord Jesus, bless me with undying love that I may be able to give up this life for you. Jesus had undying love. We know that. And again, Isaiah said he would. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter. He will not be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. Imagine, my friends, if Jesus had loved this life more than you, more than me. Imagine if he had set down the cross and said, Father, I can't, I'm not. But by his grace, he did not do that. He picked up his cross and he saw it through to the end for you and me. And his will for us is that we pick up and carry that cross ourselves with undying love, come what may. My friends, it is truly an art form to live in this world and to be in this world but not of this world. Some would say this and give us this guidance: be careful what you invest in, your time, your money, your heart. What you invest in becomes your love. What you love becomes who you are. Be careful what you invest in. Jesus said it this way: no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and the things of this world. It is a gift from God to have our love for this world die, so that our love for God and his concerns and all things eternal shines brightly in us. And it is so important for us personally. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Jesus asked. What can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For love for this world to die. You and I need to spend more time with our Jesus. You and I need to walk more with his disciples and grow in what it really means to carry our cross. To have a love that dies to this world but that lives for him. Jesus challenges us this way. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him or her when he comes in his Father's glory. Let me ask you a gut check question. Are you so focused on Jesus that you could die for him? Am I so focused on Jesus that I could testify for him, suffer for him, and die for him, to let go of this life because of him? In the year 1415, 100 years before the days of Martin Luther, John Huss of Bohemia was burned at the stake by the church of his day for testifying to the truth about Jesus, that salvation is through faith alone in Jesus. Here's one record of what his death looked like and sounded like. At the place of execution, John Huss knelt down, spread out his hands, and prayed aloud. The executioner undressed Huss, tied his hands behind his back with ropes, and bound his neck with a chain to a stake around which wood and straw had been piled up so that covered him up to his neck. At the last moment, the imperial marshal, in the presence of the Count Palatine, asked Huss to recant, to take back his confession of Jesus, and thus save his own life. Huss declined in this way: "God is my witness that the things charged against me I never preached. In the same truth of the gospel which I have written, taught, and preached, drawing upon the sayings and positions of the holy doctors, I am ready to die today." And the fire was lit, and legend says that he reached out his hands toward the flames. Ashamed of his Jesus? No. Committed to his Jesus, come what may, to his glory? Yes. I think of John Huss, and I think of my Jesus, and I ask myself the question, what is more difficult? To live for my Jesus or to die for my Jesus? It is one thing to stand in front of a congregation, in front of a friendly crowd, and say, I believe in Jesus and I confirm my faith in him and I would die for him. It's quite another matter for you and me to stand before a hostile court of law or an angry mob. It is one thing for a husband on the day of his wedding to promise to be faithful to his wife and to love her just as Christ loved the church and gave himself completely up for her, living and dying. And it's quite one thing for a wife on that same day to promise and to commit to submitting to her husband as to the Lord. It's quite another thing for us to be out there before the world and to profess and to confess before our family and our co-workers and our friends and maybe even some enemies that we love our Jesus to the point of 100% in living or dying. I don't know about you when I ponder that question. I am so glad that Jesus, in his grace and in his mercy and in his resolve, picked up his cross and lived it for 33 years and died on it for you and me, because I am bad at living my life for him. And I wonder, could I die for him? You see, I am a sinner just like you. I want to be his guy. I want to sport the wear. I want to know the lingo and share it with love. I want to be heaven-focused, and I want to be ready to die for my Jesus. With Paul, though, I know I need to say the good I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. But then who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who took up the cross and carried it through to the end to secure our salvation. The one who lived his life through to the end to inspire your life and mine. He is one that I want to own. He is one that I want to live for. He is one that I am committed to die for. But my prayer is, dear Lord Jesus, help me to own your cross. Bless me with eternal vision that sees its value, and bless me with undying love that dies to this world and lives for you. And so we end where we began. Is it possible to have a casual relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you today as your men and women, your children, your boys and girls. In our heart of hearts, we truly love you as Savior and Lord. In our heart of hearts, we are grateful for your cross. We thank you for dying for us to giving life us life eternal. But we also come before you as your children who on this day would die for you. Yet there is a part of us that is fearful of that. But we also know that if someday you would ask that of us, you will prepare us to do that for you, to die as you died for us. We ask that that never be your will for us. May we someday close our eyes in peace and go to heaven to be with you without giving that ultimate price. But if you ask us, prepare us. But now, Lord, we ask that this day you would prepare us for today and tomorrow. For before us is living for you, which is also part of your cross. So bless us this day that your unconditional love, your forgiveness, your carrying of the cross on our behalf may fuel the fire of our love for you, may fuel the fire of our love for each other, and cause us to live each and every day for you, our Savior God. Help us to shoulder your cross. Give us eyes that see. Give us hearts that love. To your glory, we pray. To your glory, we ask you to help us live. Amen.